Big ratings agencies determine the world's view on the creditworthiness of economies all over the world. So you've got these big three ratings agencies, 200 economies in the world, and the ratings agencies provide regular credit ratings on many of them. You've got to pay Moody's, Standard & Poor's and Fitch to do the job, and they don't have to listen to your excuses and your reasons. They deliver, hopefully, an objective assessment. Between S&P and Moody's, they do 80% of the world's international ratings. It's a very concentrated industry. Sovereign Africa Ratings came into being and it got its license in March this year, but it emerged from the 54th session of the Conference of African Ministers of Finance, Planning and Economic Development earlier this year. The logic being that the big global ratings agencies simply don't understand African economies. The big three ratings agencies have all got South Africa as being on sub-investment grade, and that has been since just before and during COVID. Now comes Sovereign Africa Ratings and says, no. South Africa, in fact, is investment grade. Dr. Sifiso Falala is the founder of Sovereign Africa Ratings. And Dr. Falala, welcome to The Money Show. How do you approach the ratings process differently to the big global players to have such a markedly different perspective?
How's it, Bros? Yeah, we look at it in terms of the extensive number of attributes that go into arriving at a conclusion. As you know, a lot of macroeconomic variables do come into calculations, but there are other developmental indices, for instance, corruption, legislation, and some other facets that might be regarded as relatively subjective in nature. So our methodology involves no less than 82 individual attributes, all of which feed into different pillars such as macroeconomics, sociopolitical situation, governance. And we didn't start out, obviously, with the result. When we did the calculations, we started out with a model that best fits the situation in terms of the structure of the economy. And I think on the basis of the calculation that we use and the model that we rely on, we seem to have come up with a markedly different outcome to the one of the tried and trusted agencies, so to speak.
I'm curious, do you and your team members have experience in these international ratings agencies?
We obviously have experience in, we have team members that have experience in doing economic modeling and econometric modeling, and some individuals within the team, like the analysts, that have experience within the ratings agency space. And we were very careful, given the step we were undertaking, to put together a team that had the capacity to produce results that have economic validity, but also are meaningful as far as the fiscus and the financial adjustments that need to be made are concerned.
Because it's a big difference. I mean, the big three ratings agencies have got South Africa two or three notches below investment grade, and you've got South Africa as being investment grade. Is your business model like the other agencies in the country, that you pay your, the government pays you to rate them, and they just have to accept whatever it is that you say, as they do to Fitch and S&P and Moody's?
Yeah, so this is what they do. In our case, the current rating is unsolicited, which means that it is not funded by the issuer. In this case, it is not funded by the South African government. It is funded by ourselves as a ratings agency, this being our very first rating as a business since we got our license earlier this year. And you would understand, of course, that there's potential conflict of interest if an agency is funded by the very entity that they are rating. In our case, we are not funded by the South African government, and our quantitative analysis and all the data that we've looked at is the reason why we've ended up with the output that we were able to launch and present this afternoon.
But you've got highly specialized and talented people. They're expensive. You've spent a lot of time doing this. How do you get funded?
The funding globally, it is the issuer, and you would know that the credit ratings agencies, since the financial crisis, have been on the spotlight. And one of the issues discussed, especially by the European Commission under the auspices of the European Parliament, one of the issues discussed was whether or not investors should not pay for the ratings as opposed to the issuer. Because at the end of the day, what we saw was the issuer was actually shooting themselves in the foot. Our model is based on the fact that eventually there will emerge an internationally recommended standard practice, whether it is based on the issuers or it is based on investors or some sort of subscription model or a hybrid model, it will emerge at some point which model is best preferred. We are very concerned about conflict of interest as a business, and at this point we are having discussions about the potential for subscription to the detailed reports that we are going to be producing
because
after the launch.
Another perspective is critical, especially a homegrown perspective, and one that brings a nuance to the sort of reporting that doesn't exist in the big international ratings agencies. The problem here, though, is the vast majority of investment dollars may be skeptical of a reading such as yours that is so markedly different from the status quo. Are you worried about that?
Not at all. We expect that there will be a concern because the global financial system is exactly that, a global financial system. It operates on the basis of certain rules, computer equations where you input the rating and then certain securities come up and others, you know, go down and so on and so forth. What we believe in as a business, particularly coming from a developing economy, is the sustainability of ratings and the sustainability of the impact of the ratings on the sovereigns in particular that they rate. And we do believe that there will be a number of sovereigns and subscribers that can work with us. In the longer term, we believe that, you know, fiscal performance and potentially a macroeconomic performance and indices will bear us out in terms of the reliability of our instruments. And as you would know, that even those that depend, that are hardwired to rely completely on the three major agencies, they have questions about them, those agencies. In Europe, in fact, post 2011, it was even suggested that there should be a European rating agency and that, in fact, some of the issuers should do their own verification and risk analysis. So the topic under discussion is really about whether South Africa is ready to look at its own economy, its own risk exposure differently. And we are here to provide a different perspective.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Sifiso Falala.